B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show, 3 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by the great people at Corbelli's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Well, the Flyers just look relentless right now, and we like what we see. And let's see if the people who are close to the scene like what they see as well. Flyers reporter for NBC Sports Philly joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, Taryn Hatcher. Hello, Taryn.
How you doing, Mike?
Good. Now, Taryn, you're looking at this like all of us are, and you're obviously close to this whole situation. So what do they look like to you?
I mean, they look like they haven't skipped a beat, honestly. They look even deeper. I mean, they were deep before the pause. There was very much this vibe of like, you know, who's going to score tonight? Put names in a hat, pick one out, and they're just as likely as anybody else to score because this team has really found chemistry kind of line one to line four, even though I know AV doesn't like to number his lines, and defensively as well. And it seems like they came back and guys really did the work during the pause. They really did the work in phase two during the sort of the skates that had some tighter restrictions. And then, you know, through phase three, it seems like they really ramped it up and they carried it over. I know I said this last night, but if you ask any of these guys, it's a huge testament to Alain Vigneault and his preparation and his ability to delegate and lean on the sports science staff and his assistant coaches. And you know, there's a reason why he's Jack Adams' front runner. He's got these guys ready to go, ready to play in a seemingly impossible circumstance to do that. It's really amazing.
It really is amazing. I mean, the one question I had about him, you know, when the team's hot and they get broken up for a little while and time passes, very rarely will you come back at the same level. Well, now they've done that. They've upped the level, it almost seems like. So I guess this is listen, there's one thing about preparation, one thing about the mechanisms of a coach, but you got to have that mentality yourself as a player. This looks like the perfect blend of players.
Yeah, it really does. And it's, you know, we were talking about it last night, and it's a team that has the right kind of variation of guys. You have the seasoned vets that for so long were kind of relied upon. As they went is how the team goes. As Sean Couturier or Claude Giroux or Jake Voracek, if they didn't play at their highest, the team didn't play at their highest. Now it's not like that. And you have a nice, you have a guy like Kevin Hayes who bridges the gap between, you know, James Van Riems like a Claude Giroux and let's say somebody like a Scott Laughton who's a little bit younger, who's bounced up from the bottom six to the top six and vice versa. And you've got guys like, you know, Michael Roffel and Scott who in the dressing room are just great personalities. And then you have these young defensemen that were really called up young and have gotten some great coaching from Mike Yeo and are jumping into the offense and seem confident and ready to go. You know, it really is when you look at it, and it's so funny because we talked about it last time on the broadcast and Alain Vigneault pointed it out to us, is this is not a team that relies on star power. It's not a team that has anybody in the top 30 in scoring. Kevin Hayes, Travis Konecny, the only two players in the top 50 in terms of goals in the league, and they're right at 45 and 50. Travis Konecny's 45, Kevin Hayes is 50. They're a team that relies on chemistry, and they're a team that relies on work, and they're a team that relies on kind of finding that flow, gaining confidence, and then really just kind of just hitting the gas and not ever really touching the brake throughout a game. And they smother teams, and that's what we've seen. I mean, they smothered a very good Bruins team. That's hard to do. Now, Tampa's kind of had their number. You know, the Flyers played very well against the Bruins throughout the year. They played very well against the Caps throughout the year. They played well against Tampa, but they just haven't been able to get past them. So this is really a huge, I think, mental test for them now. Can they get over this hump? Because Tampa has just consistently been such a powerhouse of a team throughout this year.
Talking to Taryn Hatcher, covering the Flyers for NBC Sports Philly. Taryn, I can't say enough about Hayes. He's been such a glue. So you being close to the situation, give me a read on this guy.
Oh, Kevin Hayes is awesome. Kevin Hayes, this is one of our favorite things whenever I'm on the Flyers Talk podcast to talk about it. I remember when he got here, And I just think a lot of people didn't really know a lot about him, but people were looking at his contract and it was, what are we doing and blah, blah, blah. And before, it's amazing because Philly is, you know, as a born and raised Philly sports fan, specifically kind of a Flyers first fan in my household growing up, Flyers is not an easy family to just come into. It's not. And he approached everything the right way. He did everything the right way. He's very respectful of, you know, the Claude Drews and the Jake Voracheks of this team that have been here for a long time. But he really came in and just established his presence as kind of, I don't know, just that locker room guy that you need. But I think when we would talk to Ian LaPerriere, who's very much this guy when he was on the Flyers and he was on, he goes, you know, you need that guy in the locker room that keeps it light and keeps everybody remembering, yeah, this is a game, and yeah, we have a huge fan base behind us. But at the end of the day, we're very fortunate to do what we do. And kind of keeps it light, and it keeps you from getting really bogged down in bad losing streaks and really just getting hard on yourself. And the Flyers, for the past few years, had struggled with that, really getting themselves behind the eight ball. And you don't see it this year. A guy like Kevin Hayes is a guy who prevents a team from just kind of losing faith in themselves just by his optimism, I think. And then you go beyond that, and he's become such a producer for this team. I mean, when you look at some of the Sanheim's goal last night, Kevin Hayes was the maestro who orchestrated that whole goal. I mean, his ability to secure the puck, move with the puck, really, like, body people off of the puck, almost like, if Kevin Hayes played basketball, I'd love to see how many rebounds he would get, because he's just, I mean, he knows how to get leverage with that big body of his, and he really did not get down on himself when he wasn't producing at the beginning of the year, and, you know, everybody on Twitter's got an opinion and whatever. He's a mentally tough guy who's really blossomed into such a great player for this team. And think about in that bubble where you've got no fans and it's so weird and eerie and quiet, you want that guy who talks nonstop, who keeps things light, who keeps the team going. I think he's been valuable beyond what people could have really imagined.
Yeah, he's been a big coup. I got to give Fletcher and you know, credit for reading that. But let me move on to, there's this notion out there now, Taryn, that even though the Flyers are playing well, there's this notion that the other teams that are in the top four in both these conferences are kind of jaking it and saving themselves and not playing at the same fervent level that the Flyers are playing. What's your feeling about that?
You know, I mean, who knows? You could say it's effort. You could say it's conditioning. You could say whatever. I don't know why you wouldn't want your team to play at a high level right now, even if, like, even if these games are you know, quote unquote, just for seeding. Having a better seed is certainly helpful. Also, you know, Alain Vigneault is out here experimenting and trying things and getting guys in and getting Joel Farabee in last night. He comes in. He looks really good last night, whatever. I don't know if other teams are dogging it. I know the Flyers certainly look fast and they look really, really well conditioned. And that's truthfully all I care about. So if another team wants to go out there and skate like they're carrying a piano, that's their call. You can go ahead and do that. I want to see my team play at full speed. I want to see these guys, especially a team like this one that relies on flow and relies on chemistry. You want to see them operate at full speed right now and see them get that back. And so to see them do that, I don't really care what anybody else is doing. I'll take a number one seed overall if we can get it. And other teams can, whatever, save their legs after having 4 months off. That's everybody's call. But, you know, I realistically speaking, I don't think any team wants to go out there and have the result against the Bruins that they had the other night against the Flyers. You know, the Flyers just looked fast. They were buzzing all over the place. I know the ice, Alain Vigneault said the ice was rough and he wasn't super stoked with the play in the first period. But, you know, if you're a Boston fan, regardless of whether or not you think your guys are giving it 100%, you don't want to see that game like go down like that. So, I mean, all I care about is the Flyers look fast. They look incredibly well conditioned. Nobody's got hands on their knees after, you know, a shift. And if you're a Flyers fan, that's got to make you feel really great right now after someone like Sean Couturier was stuck running around Philadelphia and doing yoga because he couldn't get to ice for months and months at a time. You know, you have to feel pretty good right now about how they look.
All right, last question. I think I heard either Tim Saunders or Steve Coates say this yesterday, that this might be the last time we see Brian Elliott. And I guess he's alluding to the fact that from this point on, it's Carter Hart, Carter Hart, Carter Hart, and we go to the playoffs, it's Carter Hart. Do you believe that's the way it's going to play out?
Well, I certainly think, and Alain Vigneault and everybody's been pretty transparent about this, and Brian Elliott's been such a good sport about it, is Carter Hart, is the future. You know, he is the guy, and they want to make him the guy, and they want him to be in these situations and be able to handle them. And, you know, the other night, Nate Thompson compared him to Carey Price. So, you know, that's always a very flattering comparison, and you'll take it. That being said, the thing that's been so valuable about Brian Elliott this season, and you hope that you don't have to see it in the playoffs, but, you know, it may come about, is that when Carter has kind of got in his own head, they've called upon Brian Elliott to come in and play a game so that Carter can kind of reset. And Carter's very mature and very good at doing it. And Brian Elliott has come in and been very good as well. So you might not see a ton of Brian Elliott going on through, but if Carter certainly needs a day, he's done very well bouncing back. I think the last time Carter Hart had back-to-back losses was like January 2nd and January 4th.
He may use Elliott in the playoffs?
I mean, I'm saying I think if he needs to, they're certainly comfortable with doing it.
Okay.
But they want Carter to be the guy. Mm-hmm. And we all know that they want Carter to be the guy. And the thing about Brian Elliott is he's a great sport about it, and he doesn't prepare any differently, even if that's the case.
Yeah.
So if you're a Flyers fan, again, it's another thing to feel good about. You've got a veteran who's good with taking the back seat, and you've got a young guy who has seemed to come into to this, I guess, the qualifying postseason,
right,
whatever the terminology is now, seeming really prepared beyond his years. And either way, I mean, the way he looked in these games so far, you got to be impressed. And if you're Alain Vigneault, why would you sit a goaltender who's playing like that?
We shall see what happens. Taryn, great stuff. And just quickly, like, what's it been like to cover this remotely?
It's so weird, and it stinks because this team is so fun. These group of guys love each other, and they are so fun to be around, truthfully. They're such they're all buddies. And it is so fun to be in that dressing room because you'll ask one guy a question, another guy will pop over, he'll start talking about something else, and then you get some random story from just a side conversation that you ended up in the middle of. So it stinks. I wish I was there. But you know what? It seems like the NHL is doing this the right way, and I can turn on my TV pretty much any time of day, afternoon, and watch some hockey for hours and hours straight. If you don't like, I won't complain.
All right. Sounds good. I got you. Taryn, we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Mike.
There's Taryn Hatcher, NBC Sports affiliate, covering the Flyers. So the goaltending situation is going to be very interesting. And I heard, I forget which guy said it. That's the last time we'll see Brian Elliott. Now, you know, those guys are here. They're hearing stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it has been decided. They're gone with him. See, the only thing, like, why would you play Elliott? You know, if the kid's on a roll, you don't want to interrupt that. If the kid has a bad game, you don't want to take him out and let him think that he had a bad game,
right,
and ruin his confidence. So I don't know what they're thinking here.
And he played so well against Boston. The Flyers ended up smothering him in the last two periods. In that first period, I thought they were outplayed, and he was just a wall.
Yeah.
He played so well. Maybe that cemented it. They said, lights, he performed.
It'd be very interesting.
And I guess it's smart then, if that's true, you do want to get Elliott a game just in case of an injury or any. You want to get him some game, even though he didn't get much action.
It didn't hurt him.
they didn't get much action. I thought it might hurt him.
Yeah. Dave and Glenside, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
What's up, Dave?
Pretty good. You know, it's funny because my question was going to be about the goaltending and whether Vigneault was going to go with the kid the whole way through, or since it's just a round robin now, when they get to the knockout stage, are they going to go with just Carter Hart?
It's a great question. And I think, Vigneault's playing this close to the vest. He hasn't given any indication, and probably because he doesn't want to either put pressure on the kid and just let it come to him, or he doesn't want to wound Brian Elliott's feelings by putting it out there publicly. I got to think that you got to go with Carter Hart here. Now, I don't know how he's thinking, but I would go Carter Hart and say, let's go.
Yeah, the other thing is maybe because it's just round robin and the seating isn't that crucial, maybe he just wants to make sure Elliott's getting some work right now.
I mean, he played him the one game, and I guess, you know, that's fine. You know, the kid will play against the Lightning, and then it's the playoffs, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so it's exciting. So.
All right, brother, you want a general knowledge question? Here we are. We're also, general knowledge.
Can I give you a name or two?
Give me an obscure Flyer name. Go ahead. What's that?
Can I go old school?
Sure.
Go old school.
Simone
Nolet.
Simone Nolet was not an obscure player, though. He was a first line player for back in the day. He was on the French. Okay. So he was on the French line.
Scrubs. You're talking about scrubs.
No, I'm not talking. I'm talking about medium guys. You know, like guys that you go, I remember that guy. He wasn't bad. He wasn't good. He was just in the middle.
Yeah. I've had a little bit later on, and this might be too good too. Ilkka Sinisalo.
Ilkka was a good player. Ilkka scored a lot of goals.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let me give you your general knowledge question. This is first lines of songs. You sound like an older school guy, so you should get this. So you think you can tell, heaven from hell, blue skies from pain.
What am I supposed to answer here?
You give me the song and the group. So you think you can tell, heaven from hell.
I know the song, I just can't think of it.
Blue skies from pain. Tyron doesn't want me to sing it. You're struggling, though.
I am. I've heard the song. I can't.
It's a shame. That's a shame because it's a classic.
You don't know the first line of that song.
Come on, man.
You can't sing that.
So you think you can tell. He could figure it out. I mean, he knew it, but he couldn't.
It happens sometimes under the bright light.
Right, but that's why it's hard. I don't know. Jasper's nice enough to give us all these cards. I'm trying to help the guy.
I'm trying to help him.
Jasper hooks us up, and then he's giving him softball.
Wish you were here by Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
All right.
Top three band of all time.
Top three?
I admit I have them higher than most. It's in my top three.
Well, that song in and of itself is
and the Beatles aren't number one for me. So, you know, you can't.
Wow.
It's Queens of the Stone Age, Beatles, Pink Floyd for me.
Come on, Queens of the Stone Age.
The greatest band of all time. It's better than Beatles. We've been through this. So, like, we just keep on doing the show.
Yeah. Let's go to Joe in Newtown Square. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike. Love the show.
What's up, Joe?
Just to pick up on what a lot of other folks have said, I got to give kudos to Alain Vigneault. This guy has just been masterful. I don't know what he's like in the locker room, but publicly, his press conferences, his demeanor on the bench, I mean, he's just a true professional. So I can't say enough about the guy.
You know, here's what I think he is. I think he's a guy that's figured it out where you don't get too close to your players, but you give them a plan that works and get respect that way, and then you walk through that locker room with your head high, and they all respect you. That's what I think the type of guy he is. I don't think he's interested in chumming up with anybody. I'm your coach. I love you guys. But guess what? I'm not going to kiss your butt. And I'm not getting too close. There's separation between coach and locker room. But here's the plan, and here's how we win. And if you follow it, you win.
Yeah, he's the kind of boss I'd like to work for.
Yeah, he's Belichick with a better personality.
There you go. He's got a pulse. And with the Phillies, I'm really concerned about the offense, Mike. I know we're only a handful of games in, but you got McCutchen at batting 136, Hoskins 136, Kingery 083. I mean, we got no offense. We got Real Muto and we got Harper. That's about it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, the pitching's bad enough, but, you know, we're not hitting either.
I think McCutchen will get better. I worried about him, though. You know, the age coming off the injury. I get it. They're not a dynamic offensive team. They have scored some runs, but they're not mainly because the second power hitter isn't producing.
Yeah.
You know, you can't depend on Real Muto to be your second power guy. You know, that's a bonus if he is. But the first baseman's got to hit.
Well, Real Muto's price is going up. So,
you know, I was thinking about this yesterday because somebody I read somebody's tweet. I'm confident the Phillies are going to sign him. However, all of a sudden, this Yankee situation, Gary Sanchez can't hit water right now, right? And they may look at him and go, oh, look, we suffer with him on defense. Now he's not going to hit. Well, guess what? Yeah. We're going to move him, and we're going to sign JT Realmuto. Yeah. That's my biggest fear. Now, the Yankees, I wasn't worried about the Yankees because they had Sanchez.
Right, yeah. Well, he's got to be attracted to them, I'm sure.
All right.
General knowledge?
Yes. This is Shakespearean quotes.
Okay.
You good? You go, Shakespeare?
Well, we'll see.
All right. This is from Macbeth. Something blank this way comes.
Can you give me a hint, Mike?
No, I can't. Well, I'll give you a hint. They made a Broadway play out of this word.
Something hither?
Something, no, it's not hither. No, oh, Macbeth. It was all about the supernatural. Something wicked this way comes.
What kind of play was called hither? You gave him a hint and he goes
yeah,
hither.
Yeah, gave him the hint.
He should have said rent.
I was thinking he was going to cats.
Book of Mormon, like anything.
Hither. it's a musical. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, it's 2:30. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. Brian Westbrook, 4 o'clock. He will all participate in General Knowledge Wednesday. I believe we'll make him the corrector.
Okay,
that's Brian first, corrector. First, and then Brian.
Yes, if they get it wrong, Brian can save them.
Oh, that's nice.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, let's get an update on our Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
All right, Mike, over 600 votes on this one today. Some NHL coaches are suggesting the round robin teams are not playing hard. Do you think that is a factor in the Flyers winning? 18% say yes, 82% say no.
All right, they're staying at 82. I like it. Flyers fans sticking to their guns.
Mm-hmm.
Don't dilute our accomplishment.
No, don't.
All right, so yesterday, last night, I went out and met a friend for a drink at this place called City Works in a town center, King of Prussia, right?
Okay.
Now they have this vast outdoor area. I mean, it's huge. And they've got Adirondack chairs that are separated, and they cut firewalls where you can sit on the wall away from people.
Oh, that sounds nice.
And you can actually go inside, too. They just had a few people inside. But if you've never been to the town center in King of Prussia, it's like, it's the classic sim town.
What do you mean?
It's a sim town. It's like a self-contained society. Like, this is the new wave. Like, there's one in Collegeville.
Okay.
Right, where there's like high-rise condos in the middle of all this commercial stores and restaurants and stuff like that.
Okay.
So you can walk and you never have to leave.
Right. It's a self-contained society.
Yeah.
Like, it's the new way. And I was one in Marietta, Georgia, outside of Atlanta. It's called Avalon. It's the same type of thing. So, this is the new wave. And I'm thinking to myself, could I live in a sim town? Yeah. Like, these condos are like, they're beautiful looking. They're right in the middle. So you walk outside your door, and there it is. It's the city that they built right around you.
That sounds nice.
I don't think you could now. But eventually, if you transitioned out of that job, maybe that'd be good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Would it be cool? Because it's kind of cool to be in that. It's like a cosmopolitan type of vibe. But would it stay cool, or would it get tiring and mundane within a quick period of time?
Because there's only like so many places to go. And
well, there's a lot of places.
I think the people.
It's just a different way of living. It's like living in the city, but in a self-contained little pristine environment where everything's clean and fancy and sim.
Here's one thing that happens in cities, whether it's New York, Philly, all the cities. Philly has a bunch of options pre-COVID. Let's hope a lot of those options can return. But a lot of people go to the same two bars. Yeah, they have the same two restaurants.
When you walk outside, guilty. You live in the city, you walk outside, you get the sound of the city.
Right.
Like, but that's the life of this, the pulse.
I get that, but what I'm saying is if there's an Italian restaurant and another regular bar, like an Irish pub or something like that, for a lot of people that live with a place with 100 options, that's all they do.
Yeah.
So maybe if you live in the suburbs and you have two options, you're happy with it. As long as you like the people, it's cool. Because think about how many, like I think about even in the areas I hang out in Philly, I still end up in the same three places every time for some reason.
Yeah.
Even though I have mad choices, I still end up going to the same,
I don't know. It's kind of strange. If there's anybody out there who lives in that town center, tell me what that what life is like. Because on one hand, you don't, well, it goes to sleep early. But it's like, you walk outside your condo, you're in a kind of a thriving commercial area. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder, like, can you con yourself into thinking that you're living in a cool city, even though it's like a created...
I think, maybe for you, because you're kind of like on the outskirts of the city now, you might be able to. Ty might be able to. I feel like somebody like me, I could not con myself.
You see, it's really kind of a young professional environment.
I'm sure it's great. And I'm actually, now that I'm thinking about it.
What's that?
Why do you pick that term, con yourself? Like, I think if you go there, you know what it is. You just have a place where you can walk and you can drink and not have to worry about driving after.
But Mike knows the actual city living experience. But that's why. Because you know that.
Yeah, I think what I'm saying is that you can convince yourself that you're living in a real city when it's really not. It's like a created city. There's something.
But I think
I don't think those people think like that. I don't think they think, oh, I'm living in. I think you more think this is a convenient situation. Like, I like having a walkability.
Mm-hmm.
Not having to get in the car helps me. I like that.
I think it might not be a long-lasting venture. I think people get in, they buy a condo, they think, well, I'll stay here as long as it feels exciting, and I'm going to sell it. And I wonder, like, what the resale of a condo would be in that kind of environment.
Right.
It's interesting.
I think if you've never lived in a city, you could get away with that.
Yeah.
And be happy with it. That's what I think. But if you've ever lived in the inner city and kind of know
I think it's
everything
like more corporate people. There's a lot of corporate buildings in the Conshohocken and King of Prussia area. Like, the business has moved out there. So I'm sure it's like people who work for these companies that...
And it gives them a place to go that kind of feels like Philly, but it isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Matt in Philly. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Matt?
Hi. Like, love the show. I got three quick points for you. First one, just want to quell the Flyers fans who think that Giroux and the top lines aren't producing. I mean, Vigneault's flipping the script, and he's making the top lines our defensive lines, and the bottom two are creating the offense. So I kind of love it.
Yeah.
I'm all about that.
Listen, from one to four, they all bring the same energy. Every line brings the same energy. It's amazing to watch.
Right. And here's the thing. You're not hearing the superstars from the other team's names being announced because our top two lines are suffocating them.
Bottle them up. You're absolutely right.
So the second thing, Ty, I got a little deep track for you for Queens of the Stone Age called In the Fade / Feel Good Song of the Summer. Check that out.
Is this new?
No.
It's old school. Old school, Queens of Stone Age. Yeah, we kind of admit that they're number one band of all time. I think. So,
I mean,
so whatever they do, I think, it doesn't matter.
What about the Foo Fighters?
No, Foo Fighters are. I like the Foo Fighters better than Queens of Stone Age. I like Queens of Stone Age, but Ty's been smitten with them.
Yeah,
they're not the Foo. They're not the Foos.
No.
I wouldn't work here on another level.
It's true.
Why?
Tell a story after the call.
You didn't know
you
don't
work here, but if it was for Queen of Stone Age?
Yes.
What? It was a term for me to come back here. We'll finish.
I gotta hear this story. I haven't heard this story yet.
All right, real quick, I got an obscure Flyers for you, who I actually met in person when I was 14. I don't know if anybody said this, but Todd the Fridge Fedork.
Todd Fedork, yeah, the Fridge. The Fridge was, he was a fighter, a tough guy, but never a great fighter.
Right,
maybe he was. I don't know. I have to go down the list of fighters or Flyers because I have a good history with that. But anyway, here's your general knowledge question.
Okay.
All right. It is general knowledge category. What film festival is held in a Utah ski town?
Wow,
it's a TV station. It's a channel.
In Utah?
What?
In Utah? In Utah?
Yes.
It's a
network. It's now a network.
I can't believe it.
People are coming up small today.
That was not that hard a question.
That was not that hard. Sundance. Sundance Channel. I watch Sundance Channel all the time.
They have some good movies on there.
They had Law and Order, too, 3 days
ago. Yeah.
All right, so what's this story now? Queens of the Stiles is supplied.
I had a job, obviously, when I came back. I was working in New York. And one of the terms to get me to come back was I wanted, floating around this building, was a framed, signed Queens of the Stone Age poster. And I'm serious. This is not a joke. And part of the terms for me to come work here.
Yes.
I needed that signed, framed poster.
Where did you see the poster?
I think it used to float around. It ended up because he was the rocker, ended up in Jason's office.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in Jason's
but
office.
But he never hung it either. It was just sitting there.
I remember it now. Yeah, I remember the poster.
Yeah, and he was the only rocker because the other bosses didn't want it in their office. And nobody bothered to put it up down at the rock stations.
Uh-huh.
So I said, part of me coming back, I needed that poster. And I got it.
Well, that's an interesting story. But my interest mainly is more in what exactly does turn you on mostly about Queens. I like them. They're a bunch of great musicians that put together kind of a super band. I get it. But so what is it that resonates with you that makes them so special for you?
I don't know if they've had... Okay, for the first Songs for the Deaf are... For like three albums, they didn't have a bad song. For like three straight albums, I didn't skip a single song. Nobody had a hit rate like that for any band I've ever listened to where I didn't, only Prince has ever come close to that. Three consecutive albums, I don't skip any of the songs. When I was paring it down, I couldn't pare down.
Okay. All right.
Their hit rate was unbelievable.
Now, I had this album. I bought this album right away.
Yeah,
I get it, but it's like really, it's hard driving rock.
Yes, it is,
which is interesting that you flow that way.
It was unintentional. It was completely unintentional. I remember the first time I ever heard them was a video game. I was like, who is this band? And then I started listening to them. I was like, this is the greatest band to ever live. They are the greatest band to ever live. After three albums. Like, there is no band that can touch this band. They are the greatest band to ever breathe air.
Well, and it's funny. So when Ty came back, when they were putting the both of us on the show, I remember the day that he was brought the Queen of the Stone Age poster. And he said, thank you. And I said, what's that? He said, that's how I got back here.
Interesting. That's an interesting story.
Yeah.
I like Screaming Trees. So I know, like, when Josh broke away from that, he formed this band. I think Grohl had a brief spot in this band.
Well, Grohl is friends with him. The lead singer from Queens of the Stone Age was in them Crooked Vultures when Grohl went back to playing drums.
Yeah, it's Josh Homme.
Yeah, and then, what you call it, from, and played the bass from, I'm blanking, from Zeppelin, played bass.
From Zeppelin.
I'll find it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. They first started with that guy. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Crooked Vultures was...
He was older.
And Grohl went back to playing drums. Like, he put his aside and said, I'll play drums for this guy because he's that awesome. The other thing that happened was...
John Paul Jones.
Paul Jones played bass with them, with them Crooked Vultures. Mm-hmm. And then... Queens of Stone Age goes and performs, and you got this recluse Eddie Vedder. Eddie Vedder shows up to play cowbell on their song. That's how awesome they are. He literally, if you find Sister Live, you'll see Eddie Vedder, not singing, literally playing cowbell.
So according to you, your rock list, the best. Now, I'm talking about the most famous is what I'm looking at here. But they're obviously not the most famous, but you're saying in your world, best rock band ever.
Of all time, followed by the Beatles. Followed by Pink Floyd. I feel very comfortable with that. Like, I'm very comfortable in that space.
His passion for this band, I don't even try and contest it.
I know. It's like incredible how this band has hooked my man.
I do acknowledge that they're not for everyone. I'm saying for me, if I have those three bands, I'm good.
Okay, 610-632-0975. Your call's on deck at Brian Westbrook at 4. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
It is 3:46 on the Mike Missinelli Show, and of course the General Knowledge Friday. We carried it over to Friday because we had two abbreviated shows. So today's General Knowledge is presented by Testa North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate tools in their toolbox when precision measurements matter. Be sure with Testa. Every caller that gets a question correctly today will receive a $100 gift card to Jasper's Backyard in Conshohocken. And go to jaspersbackyard.com for takeout or delivery. They have a beautiful outdoor patio for dining right on the premises. And head chef Hillary Hamilton. Now, I was there a couple of weeks ago, and I ordered this Parisian gnocchi. It's a vegetarian gnocchi. It was spectacular. Anyway, Hillary Hamilton is the head chef, and she just won Best New Chef of the Main Line. So you can order family dinners for takeout, fried chicken ribs with roasted potatoes, Caesar salad, house-made pretzel rolls. It's a great spot. Okay. Update on the PGA, which, of course, is in San Francisco, so most of the names will be teeing off after 4 o'clock. But right now, Lee Haotong from China.
Really? Well, what is he?
He's from China. Yeah. Hopefully he doesn't have the China virus.
Oh, my God.
anyway, Lee Haotong is -8 and in the lead. Tommy Fleetwood from the U.K., 6 under today, and he's in second place at 6 under. Paul Casey, Jason Day hasn't teed off yet. Tiger will tee off at 4:30-ish.
All right. Tiger's -2. That means he needs to probably get to 5 to stay within, he'll probably go 3 under to stay within striking distance.
Yeah.
If he wants to try to win the thing.
Excuse me?
If he wants to try to win.
You know what? Tiger gonna win it?
Said if he wants to try to win, he's got to stay within. Striking distance, can't fall too far behind. You didn't think he was going to make the cut.
Oh, he still might not make it.
Well, he's still good shot. He's 2 under, just through one.
He may fall apart today. You're speaking too soon.
He could. No, he could. Or he could shoot 3 under, be -5, and be right where he needs to be.
He'll probably make the cut because there's a lot of bad scores. We'll see. Let's go to John on a cell. John, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, John?
Hey, I was hoping I might get a lifeline from B. West, but I guess it's too early.
Well, you have no confidence in your ability. I can't believe it.
Well, music, you can forget about that. Mm-hmm. And Shakespeare, I don't think that's going to happen, but who knows. I was wondering what you think about the Yankees crying about the three fans making noise.
Well, Brett Boone ought to be ashamed of himself. That's ridiculous. Yeah. I was going to get to that. I'm glad you brought that up. Come on, dude. Seriously, you got the biggest, baddest lineup in Major League Baseball. You're going to worry about some guy hitting a drum? Ridiculous.
They look like the lineup that played against Bugs Bunny.
Seriously. they're coyotes on that guy coming out complaining about that.
They're all like 6'6", like 260 pounds.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Talk about rabbit ears.
Yeah.
I'd be heckling him. See, the old days, Major League players don't do that anymore. I'd be heckling Brett Boone for that. Oh, rabbit ears! Oh, you hear a drum?
Hey, I got your favorite flyer from way back.
Who you got?
The Clatter.
Trent Clatt, yeah. See, I made him famous, though.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
So he would not, he's too famous for the list. Because I made him famous.
Yeah, but he wasn't famous until you bought him groceries.
Yeah, but I made him famous. So he had a certain status. He did.
You'll never forget Trent Clatt.
Oh, no, I never will. He was the example of the flyer that I hated. The mucker grinder that he used to load up on.
Yep, he worked hard, though.
Oh, I worked hard. He worked hard in the corner. Yeah. yes, he did. All right, man, your general knowledge question?
Go ahead.
NBA top 10 leaders. All right, let's go let me see if I can.
Give me a layup because.
Here we go. Minutes played in the decade. All right. Give me two of the first three of NBA players who've played the most minutes in the last 10 years in this league. You should be able to get it.
I would have to say your boy.
Who's Bron, that?
LeBron.
You give me one more. LeBron is correct. I need another one. I'm not going to make this easy for you because LeBron's obvious. The next guy plays in the Western Conference.
And what color is his team?
No, come on, man. It's a premier team in the Western Conference this guy plays for.
A contender. Does he have a big beard?
I can't tell you anything, brother. Come on. Don't believe me for hints.
I would say Harden.
Correct. Hold on a second. LeBron James and James Harden have played the most minutes in the decade.
Booing.
I really didn't like him getting that.
He's asking all these questions. For all I know, he's Googling.
I didn't give him any hints.
No, but I'm saying he stalled allow for a possible Google.
No, but it wasn't that long of a
stall.
It's
not like we've been giving out a lot of $100 gift cards today. So
we have not.
All right, as we go into the break, Big West coming up at 4. Minutes played, Tyrone. Give me the next two of the next three in minutes played in the decade. I'll give you one. Two of them are in the West. All three are in the West.
Trying to watch for guys, how many guys who have missed due to injury. Because Westbrook's played a lot of minutes per game, but he missed some time.
Westbrook is one of them. Yes. Yeah, two more.
Is Durant there?
He is not there. No, he just misses.
Just misses.
By 10 minutes, he just misses Westbrook. So we're looking for number four, number three. Number three is a very underrated.
Wait, did Klay play a lot of minutes? Klay Thompson played a lot of minutes.
It's not Klay.
It's not Klay. Got to be decent. I don't know.
Think Southwest.
Southwest, like Dirk?
Nope.
I'm trying to
think. Not Dirk. Now, all right, this one guy played the most of his minutes in the Eastern Conference. He's now in the West.
As you already named LeBron. I'm trying to think.
We just saw him a couple of nights ago.
Just saw him. What do we see? In the Southwest. I don't
All right. DeMar DeRozan.
DeRozan's played that many minutes?
Fourth, 25,674 minutes.
Would have never guessed
and
that.
Here's the one. LaMarcus Aldridge is third.
Wow. I guess durability.
He's been durable.
He's been super durable.
He hasn't hurt now, but he's been durable.
Yeah, and it's just his shoulder.
All right. 610-632-0975. Guess who's up next? Brian Westbrook for the hour. Back after this.